Two great occasions bring us together to worship today. On the church calendar, today is Pentecost Sunday, a day to celebrate the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, a day to sing Happy Birthday, Church, as the Spirit came upon the early disciples. On the secular calendar, today is Mother's Day. God could not be everywhere, so He created mothers. And so it is that this is your day, mothers. So sit back and enjoy it. Relax, bask in the sunshine, and let somebody else take you to lunch today. When I think about God moving over the waters of creation, I call the Creator my Heavenly Father. When I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die upon a cross, I think of Christ as my brother. But when I consider God to be omnipresent, to be everywhere, the one who helps and nurtures His children every day, I consider God, the Holy Spirit, to be my mother. And that's where I want to land with this sermon this morning. Like a good mother. Like a good mother, the Holy Spirit brings us new birth. I didn't ask to be born, screams Dennis the Menace, as he's dragged off to his room once more for misbehaving. Of course, theoretically, Dennis the Menace is right. He didn't ask to be born. Nobody asks to be born. Birth is something that happens to us. And while I've had enough sex education to understand that fathers participate in the creation of life, I suggest that birth is primarily a motherly affair. It's a mother's body that changes with pregnancy. It's a mother who feels the first movement of life. It's a mother who feels the pains of labor and the ecstasy of delivery. And while a father is elated, it is the mother who first senses, this child is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. This child is life from my very life. Now in that moonlight conversation with Nicodemus back in John chapter 3, Jesus says to Nicodemus, the ruler in the Pharisees, that you must be born again. You must be born from above. Just as there is a physical birth, so there is a spiritual birth. You must be born from above. Now, I must confess to you that I've read that most of my life and centered on the must part. You must be born again. As if it were something I could generate, something I could pull off, something I could manipulate into happening, something that I could decide about, and it would happen in light of my efforts and my doing. But that is not true. It is no more true than is the fact that you engineered your own birth. You had nothing to do with it. You didn't choose your mother and father. You didn't decide where you were going to be born. And so it is that spiritual birth is a gift given to us, not something you and I manipulate into happening. Jesus said it to John right there. I just missed it all of those years. The wind blows wherever it wills, and you hear the sound thereof, but you don't know where it's coming from. And you don't know where it's going. It's like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit. A spiritual birth is a gift from God. It is not your engineering. It is not my doing. It is not my accomplishing. It is a gift of God. A gift of God through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. David Tyree, a receiver for the New York Giants, made a fabulous catch from Eli Manning last winter to enable the New York Giants to win the Super Bowl 17-14 over the Patriots. David became an instant star on the field. But that was far from being true in David's life. His life was a mess. He started consuming large amounts of alcohol in junior high and continued through high school. He smoked marijuana all the time during his college days and got busted for selling drugs to pay off his debts. He had a pregnant girlfriend who was threatening to leave him. She'd had enough of all of it. And in that place where there was no peace, David Tyree started reading the Bible. David Tyree started reading the Bible. And the Holy Spirit transformed his life, turned him around. Today he's sober, he's married, he attends church every week. And I want to say, that's what God can do for you. Don't try to make it happen in your own doing. Receive it as the gift that it really is. That is what God can do for you. Like a good mother, the Holy Spirit wants to bring you new birth, wants to give you real life. Like a good mother, the Holy Spirit teaches us and nurtures us throughout our lives. Jesus is teaching the disciples here in John chapter 14. And this is what he says. But the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, will teach you all things and will remind you everything that I have said to you. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will teach you everything you need to know. Now, where would anybody, any of us be, were not it that we had good teachers along the way? We had to have somebody to teach us everything we know. That's why it's important to celebrate a Mother's Day. We were lost without a mother, without somebody to teach us the fundamentals. I tried to think of one of the five top things that parents teach their children, and I started back with basics. They taught me to sit up. I couldn't do that by myself. Every other animal in the world can do it on its own, but not a human being. They taught me to eat. They taught me to control my bowel movements. They taught me to dress myself. They taught me to take responsibility for my life in the world. The military, concerned about uprooting families again and again with deployment to Iraq, came out with a new program recently called Heroes at Home. It's a mentoring program for young mothers with young children to teach them the basic techniques of trying to care for a child. One mother who's enrolled in the program said, I always thought my mom would be the one to sit down and teach me these basic things of life. But my mom is far, far away from where we're living. And I'm grateful that somebody teaching me the fundamentals that I must teach my child. All of us need a teacher. We need it to survive in the world. We can't survive on our own. So I draw the analogy. What are the five things that the Holy Spirit can teach us? What are the five top things that the Holy Spirit can teach us? You'd have your own list. You'll come up with your own lines, and they will all be right. Well, some of them that came to my mind are out of this text, and others that came to my mind are these. To remember Jesus. I will teach you to remember everything that I said while I was here. He will teach us the Scriptures. The Scriptures are given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for the edification of believers. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit that we not only have the Scriptures, but that we could understand them when we read them. The Holy Spirit teaches us to love God. The Holy Spirit teaches us to live a holy life. The Holy Spirit teaches us to walk by faith. Those are basic things. Don't try to live the Christian life on your own power. I know some of you are saying today, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to be a better person tomorrow. You're going to fail at that. You really are. Don't try to do this religion thing on your own. It simply won't work. You got to have power from on high to live the Christian life. And that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. God present, omnipresent with us, everywhere there, to try to help us live the life that God has called us to live. The Holy Spirit teaches us the things of God. The Holy Spirit nurtures us in our very souls. I love those words of the prophet Isaiah who said, "Can a woman forget her own baby and not love the child she bore?" And then as if to remember that, yeah, every once in a while, there is a mother who abandons a baby and abandons a child. As if to remember that, yes, occasionally that does happen. Isaiah exclaims, even if a mother should forget her child, God will not forget you. God will not forget you. You will be like a child nursed by its mother, carried in her arms, treated with love. God will not abandon you. The dominant symbol of the Christian faith is a cross towering over the wrecks of time, and it should be. But there have been periods of history where that was not the case. Between the 12th and the 15th century particularly, somewhere along in that period of time, the predominant symbol of the Christian faith was Mary nursing the infant Jesus while looking out upon the world. If you consider the art of that era, you can see it everywhere. In a time of plagues and wars and malnutrition, the virgin's breast was a symbol of God's loving provision of life, the sustenance of life itself, a picture of God nurturing and caring for his own. People were invited to be comforted in the bosom of Mary. Now I say to you today, there's not a human being alive whose soul does not long to lean on the everlasting arms, that does not long to be nursed at a fountain that never runs dry, or rocked in the bosom of the Almighty. All of us have that need. All of us have that need. And the Holy Spirit of God comes to us like a good mother and holds us and nurtures us and nurses us until we are whole again. Like a good mother, the Holy Spirit teaches and nurtures his own. One more thing I want to say. Like a good mother, the Holy Spirit loves us with a love that will not end. No matter what kind of love. That's what the Holy Spirit brings to every one of us in our lives. Back in the late 1960s, I served a little student church right outside of Bardstown, Kentucky. It was made up of hardworking farmers, and in that church was a family who had raised seven sons on a farm. They'd done quite well. All seven sons were grown and were out in their own families and raising their own families. But as is true with so many families and most of our families, one of the seven lost his way at midlife. He got to drinking way, way too much. He became an alcoholic. His wife put up with him as long as she could possibly stand it, and then she divorced him. He lost a great job that he had in Louisville with the school system. He just lost it because he was losing his own life. I watched that mother and father age decades in just a year or two. I thought it was going to kill them. People in the church were talking about it every way. You know, this is going to kill Kate and Lewis. It's just going to kill them. And so one day, armed with one course in 101 psychology, and never having had a child of my own, I went over to pay the Greers a visit. I talked to them about tough love. I talked to them about sometimes you got to let people go, you know. I talked to them about there's only so much you can do to win them back. I thought it's a pretty good sermon myself. And I got toward the end of it and I said to Kate and to Lewis, I said, you know, if Tom were my boy, I'd just let him go. He made his bed, I'd let him lie in it. And without missing a blink, Kate looked back to me and said, Howard, if he were your boy, I'd let him go too. But he's not your boy. He's my boy. And I love him all the way to the grave. Which is exactly what she did. She loved him all the way to the grave. Now I want to say to you, that's a God-like love. Like a good mother, the Holy Spirit loves us with a love that won't end. The Holy Spirit loves us that much. When I was growing up, we used to talk about getting the Holy Spirit as a baptism of love. We weren't high on hollering and shouting or speaking in tongues, or nobody would get slain in the Spirit and fall in the aisles. But we were high on the notion that the Holy Spirit would come upon a life and just baptize you, fill you with love. I want to suggest to you, that's been an image that stayed with me beautifully through all the years. A baptism of love. A baptism of love. A woman went on a cruise. She hadn't been on one before. She didn't have a lot of money, and she wanted to save what little she had. So every night at dinner time, instead of going to the dining room and enjoying dinner, she went to her room and ate crackers and snacks and drank water. She did it all week long until the last night. And she said, well, I've been doing this all week long. I guess I can splurge one night. I guess I'll go to the dining room where she was served a delightful meal. In a delightful fashion, and in a wonderful place, with all of its wonder. It wasn't until she finished the meal that she made a discovery. Dinners were included in the package all week long. They were part of the deal. They were there for her. All she had to do was to go to the dining room and eat. I want to say to you today that the Holy Spirit is part of the package. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Don't shortchange yourself on all the fullness of God. Allow yourself to be baptized with a baptism of love. Amen.